Hi, and welcome to the Positivity Podcast. This podcast focuses on connecting with people from all different backgrounds and walks of life from around the world. Throughout this podcast, you'll listen to people's stories, their experiences, the trials and tribulations that they've overcome, why they do what they do, and current trends. Topics may vary from personal development, mindset, people sharing stories, authors, coaches, ex-military personnel, professionals, and everyday people in walks of life. I hope you enjoy this podcast as I aim to connect with people for them to share their story, their experiences, and why they do what they do, because I have a deep interest in humans and providing valuable content to the audience. If you would like to be on this podcast, you can email me at thepositivitypodcast@gmail.com in the notes. You can connect with me on social media in the notes, positivity94 on the Instagram. If there's any tips, any advice, any feedback, I would highly appreciate it. So let's get into the show. Thank you for your support, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Subscribing really helps, and you know, I appreciate all your support. Hope you enjoy this show.
Tuning in, trying to find out how to win. Go along and tell a friend. Marathon, you know the game. Keep on running, never end. Getting better, make amends. Adam got it, Adam got it, Adam got it, Adam got it. Positivity.
Neil, it's great to have you back on the podcast today.
Yeah, great to be back, Adam. Yeah,
no, it's good to have you back. And I just kind of like thought I'd start off by kind of introducing you again, because you know you're into coaching as well, and you're a coach.
Yeah.
And all just saying, like, this kind of current time right now in the UK, we're currently through a lockdown, and I know it's different around the world in different scenarios, but I think like mental health's like a big thing at the minute, and I think we can kind of go into that if you like.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important, and I think the one thing that might be really helpful is to just say that obviously it affects everyone, and I'm including myself in that, though I've had weeks that have been quite difficult. And I think what I'm hearing from people around me, and this is anecdotal, it's not, you know, remotely factual and researched, but is just a sense of being weary and a bit sad and a bit angry and a bit lost. Those seem to be the kind of feelings or things that people are saying around me. And I guess just some thoughts about, as a coach, what I need to do about that for myself, because I'm doing a lot of self-care work at the moment to kind of change that situation, and it's working. So that's great. But also for clients and for other people as well.
Yeah, and I think, like, as well, you know, everyone's kind of going to experience, you know, their own kind of difficulties. I think like it's been difficult in the UK, I think, because of like the winter. We have like quite harsh winters and the weather's not always great. And I think that just adds on top of like the current situation. It's like how are you going to, you know, kind of push through that, and what necessary things can we do with the things that we, you know, the utilities that we do have. And, you know, people, I think, are definitely experiencing difficult times. But I was saying previously, there's like a spectrum almost. There's people who are, you know, thriving and they're doing really well in business or XYZ situation. And then there are people who aren't. And I think we can't really overlook that. And there are those spectrums to it, you know, to how things have been, I think.
I think that's a beautiful point. I think it's I think we're very, very worried in this country about saying, on the one hand, we seem to be very worried of saying anything that's going to upset anybody else. But on the other hand, we tend to make blanket statements about about issues and things and create a one version of what's happening. And I think what you're describing is absolutely true, that there are people who are having different experiences, which doesn't, and by saying that, if people are thriving, that doesn't mean that other people's experiences of going through extreme difficulty gets lost somehow or is being disrespected, which I think is how people hear it sometimes. But I think the first thing to help lift low mood or kind of feeling overloaded by it is what you're saying. I think that's really important. If we can accept that there is a spectrum of what's going on, then immediately we start to realize that for the people who are suffering, there are also people who are doing well. And certainly in terms of my meditation practice, which is where I think most of my techniques that are working for me are coming from, the idea that some people are doing well is something that I can connect to give me hope, but also to recognize that the world still gives back. So it's not a hopeless, dark place like it might feel.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. I think as well, if you, you know, by seeing like that, and if you share, you know, how you feel, you know, there's going to be people out there who might feel the same, and they're kind of like, you don't feel like there's something wrong with you by saying, you know, saying to someone, oh, I don't feel too good today. They go, oh, why don't I? I'm experiencing X, Y, Z. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you know, maybe I'm not the only person who's finding it hard, you know. And I think it's that kind of honesty with yourself, isn't it? And really kind of accepting what's going on and taking that responsibility for it. And not, because it's like, you know, if you, everyone has down days or might have days that aren't the same, you know, and it's like being okay with that, isn't it? And
yeah,
you know, as like I said, as a coach, there are many ways we can help, you know, kind of make, you know, support their mental health, isn't it? Like, you know, meditation or exercise at home if they can, or, you know, in the garden, or they don't have a garden, then make a space. There's lots of different things, you know, books to read. There's lots of good content you can look at, isn't there? What would you suggest, you know, has helped you, or kind of what people could probably do? I mean,
yeah, that's a really good question. I think okay, so four or five things kind of come to mind. I think it is good to connect to it. Well, I think that you're right. The first step is being able to say, I am this. So, for example, there's a meditation practice I just did this morning. Tara Brach, who's an American Buddhist and psychologist as well, which is amazing. So the thing was just kind of focusing on the breath, like a lot of meditation stuff is, but then just sitting with whatever happens and just saying yes to it. And I've tried it in the past and I've just thought it's a bit, you know, a bit foofy. But actually, this morning, it really worked. It meant that everything that I experienced or felt legitimized somehow. It was okay for me to feel it and to kind of be there. So I think that's stage one. I think connecting with other people who experience the same is important, but I also think it's become a bit of a curse in this country, particularly on social media, because then we clan up together. We become tribes, and the moment that there's an us, there's always a them. For us, finger pointing seems to have become something that's been encouraged and also something that's very, very rife. But the problem with us and them is there can't be a we. And in order to get other people's insights, I'm thinking about this from my experience of fibromyalgia and being in a group that was just about how awful things were, which was great because it made you feel like you're part. But then where's the hope? And actually, I had to go to other places to find answers to that, to those questions. They included people with fibromyalgia, but also different communities too. So I think there's other answers and other tribes, if you like. And if we don't reach out to some of those, then we risk isolating ourselves. And for me, as I say, meditation's been the big thing. The big thing for me has been compassion, because when lockdown started, I'd spent about 25 years being an angry, 40 going into middle age year old man, and I started off being really angry with the way that people were responding to lockdown, for example. And about that same time, blatant plug that you can edit if you need to, a book by Tara Brach called Radical Compassion came out, and I thought, okay, so this is you were talking about core values before we came on the call, and I thought, yeah, okay, so this is a core value that's calling to me. Compassion is exactly what's going to make the difference to the way that I approach all these things. So if I, you know, learning compassion for myself and then for everyone else around me, so I'm not isolated and angry all the time. And okay, that sounds great, and it sounds glib, and it sounds okay. Have you done it? Answer is work in progress, which of course all meditation is. It's a practice. It's not a tick box exercise. So I'm still working for that. And like any exercise, you're talking about exercise before, when you that you need to strengthen that compassion muscle, I'd say, which is going to take me time, but I do honestly think it's going to work as a result. So that's one that's worked for me. I know lots of people say meditation, they can't sit still, it's not their thing, but you can also meditate while you're running, while you're walking. It's not just about sitting still and breathing if that's not your thing. So that's what I'd say. Yeah.
No, they're really great points, and I think like it's really good to do that. And I think like having like good books where we can draw from, you know, the content that's in there and applying it to your life and kind of learning things as well, isn't it? And developing yourself. And I think like compassion's a big one. And you know, just like that gratitude, isn't it? You know, and taking responsibility for your life, and you know, to like you said, it's a work in progress, and taking that each day at a time. And I think, you know, I think when you think that way and you act that way, you kind of give yourself a break almost. So I think sometimes, you know, we want things straight away, and it's like a step-by-step process, and being okay with that. I think especially like, you know, we're locked down here in the UK, and, you know, there are going to be days where, you know, like right now, the weather's not really great outside where I am. And,
likewise. You know,
there's going to be days like that. So you might not feel like doing X, Y, Z, or you might actually feel, you know, X, Y, Z, and that's okay. And that, you know, there's waves almost, isn't it? But I think when you're aware of that, and you know, what can ask me yourself those questions, isn't it? What can you do, you know, with what you have? Like, yeah, you can't control the weather, so you know, what can you control? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think that's really beautiful. And that thing you're saying about gratitude as well. And it's interesting that gratitude, and I think compassion as well, and stuff like that, has become part of mainstream thinking about what people call self-improvement, which is a phrase that I kind of have a problem with, because we're fine as we are. You know, we seem determined as a nation to keep battering ourselves with what we're not doing. And I know I've heard people go, oh, I haven't done my gratitude journal today. Oh my God, that means that I have not, you know, like it's part of the to-do list. And if you approach it like that, it's just something else to beat yourself up with. So you're absolutely right. It's about, what were the words you used? It was perfect. It was like, oh.
Where you can't control or something.
Yeah, what you were saying about just the way that you look after yourself, just being kind to yourself about it as well.
Yeah.
So there's lots of days where on a low day I've only been able to get, I'm grateful for my dog, and even that was a push. But that's a... especially with his gas emissions, but actually that's but I'm okay with that. And actually, if I can't find anything on that day, I go and listen to a podcast, a kind of Dharma talk about the topic that I need to help me get back to that. So
I think that's a really good point you mentioned. You know, having, like, sometimes I can do a lot, I've got a lot of tasks and things that I feel like I need to be doing or do. And a lot of the time, it's difficult, you know, because I might have like 20 something different things, and as well as doing podcasts, posting content, and everything else. And then sometimes, if I don't get XYZ things done, or if I don't post something, or if I forget to do my gratitude list, you know, I feel like XY, I feel like, oh, you know, and then that can leak into the next day. And then before you know it, 2-3 days gone by. But that happens. That's okay. You know, I think as long as you're aware of that, is like, if you don't have too much to write in your list, sometimes I'm like that. You're like, my surroundings or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I think we have to kind of give ourselves a break sometimes, don't we? It's okay to be like that. But I think we can sometimes have so much expectations on ourselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's true. And that thing about, so I'm on a 30-day challenge at the moment.
Oh, yeah, you said, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And my goal, which I haven't revealed to the group, is to have less goals. Because if I have less goals and actually spend more time actually focusing mindfully on those, the tasks themselves, that I know that will make me more effective at my work. And also, more crucially, give me time to switch off. So, but I feel like I can't say that just in case people think I'm saying that they're, you know, it's a criticism about them. We're back to where we started actually about this thing of being worried about what we say to anybody these days. But
yeah.
I do honestly think less, just let's all just do less.
I think that's a good point. That's something that I'm working on at the minute because I've got all these different tasks I feel like I need to do and I've written the most of them down.
Mm.
But as you said, you know, everyone's got different goals and that's absolutely fine. I've got different lists. That's fine. But I think like if you have like, let's say, break it down into chunks and you say you take five or whatever from that list and you kind of focus on them, it gives you that more. This is something that I'm trying to work on. Mm. One at a time or whatever. You're more focused, aren't you, if you have, like, say, less compared to 20 all at once. And yeah, I think it's just how we're wired. Because I was researching or revising my course I'm doing, and it said something like, we can only hold 7 things in our mind at once or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, how sometimes we don't get 20 things done because we can only focus on however many it wants.
So true. Yeah. No, that's so true. And interestingly, talking about this, the self-development stuff, improvement, I don't even know what words it is. you know, some of those books, there's books I've had to put down because they're shouting at me. You know, there's even a set of books that are called something. You know, talk about framing in a non-positive way, how to not, excuse my language, and you might have to.
But
there's like billions of books that are called like how to not give a fuck about.
So yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, well, actually, isn't it more important to give a fuck about something? So, I mean, so there's that, but also there's books I felt really bullied by page 3. You should be doing this. This will save you. It was like, hey, back off. You know, I bought you, but I don't want you like in my face slapping me around like this.
Yeah.
Like, so I also think
that like a UFC match or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's some books which are more about the ego, the person that's writing it, than they are actually about the kind of book that I've just flashed up. And here's another one, which is Jack Kornfield, who's works with Tara Brach sometimes as well. And this is it's called The Art of Forgiveness, Loving Kindness and Peace. And I know how that makes me sound, but I swear if we all could learn some of that, life would be just so much easier.
Yeah. What's that book called again?
It's called The Art of Loving Kindness, Forgiveness and Peace. So, and it's a mixture of, it's not, it's basically, it's a combination of things that people have said. It's got some quite complicated meditations in, but they're really great ones. And just some thoughts about how we kind of treat each other and, you know, where we go with that and how to just move forward without being remotely do this and battering you over the head with it, you know. So I dip in and dip out of that one.
I think like you said, like books are really great, and I think there's different, I think, like, you know, like books and things, like it's people's own take and their own experience and what works for them. And it's like some books might work for you, some might not, and I think you've got to kind of take what you can from the book, having you apply what you need to,
absolutely,
that kind of thing. So I mean, like, there's some books like that, and some kind of, it's like a step-by-step guide, and it's, I think, yeah, everyone's different, aren't they? I mean, there's books that I've read here. I mean, I one of the ones that I read a while ago called that, you know, Tony Robbins and all that.
Yeah.
Classic ones. And
yeah.
And he has like diagrams and he talks about, you know, mindset. So, but like a lot of that is pretty much like, but as you mentioned, like, you know, come on, do it kind of thing. But everyone's different, aren't they? So it's like,
absolutely.
You know what? And I think that's something that people probably overlook sometimes. Like, you know, what works someone might not work for someone else.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that last book used to be with an ex-client of mine. That used to be almost like a joke between us, because every time I flash it up, she'd just go, "Don't show me that book," you know. "This is not what I need." So it kind of became. And likewise, you know, meditation isn't the only way round lots of the stuff we're talking about. So you're right. Yeah. It's about being open to listening to other people. And you might get one nugget from someone whose whole approach you don't necessarily agree with, but they might have that one little nugget of information that you can try out that makes a difference. Mm. And that's why it's kind of worth work. Yeah, it's worth being open to whoever, I think.
That's it. And I think it's interesting, isn't it? I think like when you think people think a different way and things like that. Like I like someone, I won't go too much into LinkedIn, but like there's some posts on LinkedIn that are really great. Mm. And then there's some things people put and it's like it doesn't kind of like make sense. And I think even you just got to respect people with perspectives, and people just got different ways looking at things, haven't they? And but like I said, the world that we live in, a lot of people are afraid probably to say certain things because, you know, like we mentioned that actress who got, you know, like the cancel culture and all of that, and people being called out for certain things. And it's like, I saw a guy who tweeted something between. He tweeted something on Twitter and he lost his job. He put out a joke that wasn't very funny, but it was quite offensive. And he lost his job. And you think you could be like 10 seconds away from, I mean, this is different from what I'm talking about, but it's just like kind of.
I think it's part of it though, because it's about how the difficulty we have in relating to each other, particularly at the moment at time of such stress. And I think we've gone. It's that thing. I was talking about tribalism before, wasn't I?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
It's that thing of we go. It's like, you know, if ever we're out of lockdown and I can be in a room with people I've not met before, please don't put me in a room with people just like me. Please, you know, I don't. You know, I want to be. Not that I'm looking for a fight or an argument, but just I want to hear different experiences to mine. And that's okay. I want people to challenge me sometimes, but
yeah.
but I want that, because if that doesn't happen, I stay stuck thinking I'm okay and I never move on and progress. And how is that helpful?
That's how you ultimately grow, isn't it? It's how you grow. And I think that's why I kind of like going on other people's podcasts or other people's shows sometimes, because I want to, you know, to provide value on their content and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, sometimes they might ask me questions that I haven't really thought about or someone's not asked me. And it kind of puts you on the spot and it can be uncomfortable. And someone asked me recently, "What's your legacy?" And I was a bit like, "Hang on, so let me just think about this." You know, so putting yourself around people who are different, who are doing different things, it's it pushes out your comfort zone, doesn't it? And I think that's
totally.
It opens up your perspective as well when you hear people's different stories or what they've been through in different areas.
Or even different parts of yourself. It's funny when you were thinking of that. So I was thinking about, I watched this great training video, the coaching video. Can I give a plug to the coaching company, because they're so fantastic? So Catalyst 1-4, who are also my trainers, is this brilliant coaching video about using metaphors and using metaphors within coaching context. And a lot of those metaphors are kind of cliche, old ones that people come out with. I do it too. And immediately my writer brain starts going, No. Don't keep me around cliches, because I'm trying to avoid using cliches in my writing. It was this wall in my head about I can't open up to this podcast because it'll make my writing more crap, which probably isn't true. But it was just a really interesting moment where two different parts of my working life just were kind of at war with each other. And it was like, oh, what do I do now? You know, so I haven't got an answer to that one yet, by the way. But if anybody else has, please let me know. But
I think we do have clashes sometimes with stuff, don't we? Like we have I don't think just part of being a person. Sometimes things come up, or we can be critical of ourselves, probably, or sometimes like part of it's, you know, and that, I think that's just something that we have to work on, isn't it? You know, you're going to come up against certain things and challenges, and I think people probably experience a lot of that with COVID and lockdown and having to adapt in different situations and jobs that they might never have done before. I know people who are chefs, and I mean hospitality is kind of out the window right now.
It's isolated, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like, well, if people have done that for however many years, think, oh, maybe I should, I don't know, be a postman or whatever. Mm. You know. Or the, you know, it comes up, you know, I've never done that, I'm good enough or whatever. It's just, I think, taking that each step, isn't it? You know, and you just don't know.
No, that's a beautiful reflection. And actually, I think you put your finger on it, that actually what it's about is my worry that my writing's not going to survive being around cliches, which is, I have been told off for cliche in writing by both my writers' groups, but nevertheless, that's actually about my confidence, like you say. That's a really interesting reflection. And that kind of takes us back to where we started as well about how this situation is kind of intensifying all those kind of feelings that can happen about worthlessness and am I good enough and can I adapt and what does that mean, you know? Yeah,
because I mean I saw a video clip of myself I did when I was like last January, and I was talking about doing a podcast, and I didn't do a podcast until January 2020. So I partly thought, what was I doing in that time? What was I doing in that period of time where I said I was going to do it, but I didn't do it? And it's like you said, all that shit, so to speak, is there saying, oh, well, you shouldn't do this. Oh, people are going to think X, Y, Z. And I think that's just kind of, it's kind of part of it, isn't it? You're going to come up against yourself, you know, especially if you're starting something new. I was going to ask something. But I think that's, it's like a journey, isn't it? It's just a process. It's a process.
Yeah, when you say that, that makes me think about our previous conversation about PTSD and about the fact that, you know, I'm saying all of this and, you know, I am automatically, because I probably will for the rest of my life, quite happily do some CBT exercises that will help make sure that I remain buoyant and able to live a happy life. So there's that. I mean, there's that going on in the background as well. But actually, being able to respond to crisis, that it's great as long as you know you've got this range of things that you can do. And they might, like you say, I don't know whether you said this before the podcast or during, but yeah, and you have to be patient and wait for some of that because you just said it now, actually. Yeah, that time that it would have taken to get from I want to do this to I am doing this can be quite a long time. And as I was saying last time, the reason I became a coach in the end isn't because I went, right, I'm going to get out of education, I need to do this for me. It's because I had a really number of experiences that made my mental health kind of take a tumble. So so I think, you know, I'm not claiming I made that move, but I wasn't ready. And then you're on the path and you resource yourself and surround yourself with the right kind of people and start having these kind of conversations and that's the other thing, I guess, that I'm saying as well about some of this, that being around the right kind of influences at the moment, I think particularly, and the right kind of conversations is really important.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And that really does have an impact on your life, and I think your mental health, and I think the conversations you have and the people you're having with. Because, I mean, sometimes I have people who send me stuff, and it's just negative. They're just engaging in negative stuff, and then that makes me feel negative. And then I might dip into that. I might do the same. And then it's just like a stirring pot of crap, and then that can just leak into other stuff. And I think, like, especially that's why I think it's so important, as you said, you know, your energy and the kind of people you surround yourself with and kind of what you look at, isn't it? I mean, it's trying to be self-aware, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think the problem I've had with that whole branch of thinking in the past has been that it can often be from exactly the kind of writers that I was talking about before that scare the crap out of you and basically go, be positive, you know, don't be negative. And it's like, I say that too loud on the mic.
No, that's cool.
That's all right. And that's like, well, you know, screw you. But actually, yeah, I was telling you before, wasn't I? So I use positive psychology anyway within my coaching, but I had this experience in November or October where I did a course. Can I plug again? Is that all right?
I'm open. Yes.
Yeah. So called The Lightning Process is the course, and it's well, my partner, he says that I'm 80% recovered from fibromyalgia as a result of it, certainly from the symptoms. And I've got to work for that, but it's all about what we're talking about. It's about the neuroplasticity. It's about creating new pathways in the brain that then don't go into the more negative ways of thinking. So it's not about being just, you know, being a positive Nazi, as I like to call it. It's about... It's about changing the way your brain thinks, because the more your brain thinks that way, the more naturally that happens. And obviously that's a taking time thing, you know, as well.
Oh yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's it. That's something that I've been learning about with NLP and stuff. Mm. And it's interesting because it's like, it's your brain's malleable. And what they used to believe is that you could only change the way you could only change your pathways and how you was thinking, like when you was a kid. And they thought, you know, after a certain time, that was it. And it's like, you know, it's one step at a time. And I think it's, you've got to put in that work ultimately. I mean, you've got to want to kind of change. You've got to want to put in that work to get that outcome. And I think it's great that, you know, you've been able to shift from that. And that, but you probably had to make a decision to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, also, I'm very, very, very quick to add that that's because this was the right path for me. And coming back to what you were saying before, because it was so important, and it, you know, that's my story. That doesn't mean that it will work for everyone. I know the misery that fibro causes, and I know I know people have experiences. So it's not a competition, obviously, but I know, you know, that there's a lot worse things that have happened to a lot of people because. You know, I was in the community and reading about it and connecting with people about it. So I'm not saying, oh, this is what you should do, because it's not about that, but it is about readiness. And I guess what I'm thankful for is that I got to a point where I was ready to think about that. And that's not me negating the hard work I put in since about that. But for me, it's about being able to get yourself to the point where you're ready on the path, like you're saying about the podcast, you know, being a podcast host and kind of having a podcast and editing and it being a business and kind of, you know, having a platform and all the other billion things that you have to do, and finding guests who don't ramble on too much. those things are, it's putting your brain in the right place and having the right people around you to do it that are, you know, those are the things.
They're really big things. I think the people around you is massive. And I promote it on like social media, but I've never forced people to like say, you need to listen to this. Or I'll say, listen to this, but I might send them something if they can connect with it. And I think it's just kind of organically kind of grown. And I think, you know, it's, I think, like you said, the people who are, support you in it, keep you kind of going and kind of give you that kind of probably accountability as well. Because they might message you and say, oh, are you doing X, Y, Z? And you know, oh, I need, you kind of feel like you kind of have like a bit of responsibility, you know, as well. You kind of have to show up. I suppose, like, you know, you and coaching. You have to show up.
Yeah.
You have
to. That's really important. That's really important. I mean, you were you're talking before, you know, this started from us talking about people feeling lost and me kind of including myself, having those moments. But it is when you, that thing about connecting to purpose, when you feel like there's purpose, when you feel like you can add something and you are responsible and you need to be able to do that for somebody and you're living your life purposefully like that. I think that makes a huge difference with not feeling in a void and not feeling disconnected, because then you're doing something and you're going somewhere. Yeah,
that's it. No, it's so important. And I would talk more. I've got like 5% of my phone battery, but like where can people? It's been really great having you back on the podcast, Neil.
And I've really enjoyed it. Yeah,
it's always good fun. And where can people connect with you on your website and your coaching?
Okay, so my website address is lifecoach-london.com. My email address is neil@lifecoach-london.com. Even if it's an inquiry about me being a writer and stuff like that, that's fine. If it all comes through there, I can
sort
it through. But no, it's been really great, Adam, and I've really appreciated kind of free. I just had an inkling that freestyling on this would be a really interesting thing to do, and I feel really kind of resourced from the conversation we've had, and I look forward to whatever we tackle next. So
no, awesome.
Good, carry yourself.
No, you too, Neil. It's been great having you on, and I wish you all the best in what you're doing. And I really enjoyed it. It's been really organic, and I hope you have a great day, and look forward to next time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you take it easy. All the best. Take it easy.
Bye. Got it. Passivity.